Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
So many stories on the internet of doom and gloom. I'd love seeing those feel-good stories about unlikely friendships between animals. You see them all the time. It's like, oh, cats and dogs getting along together. It's not just in the movies in Milo and Otis. It can happen in real life.
Mm.
And I was very excited when I saw a story about a magpie and a dog becoming friends. I know. That's a little bit unlikely, isn't it? You know, you've seen
lockdown
this.
Has not been good to you.
No, I know.
This is what it's come to.
We always see stories, though.
Like, everyone. Yeah, it's a story about a magpie and a dog. Shut up.
If that doesn't warm your heart, nothing will. You've got a heart of ice. But basically, we're always seeing stories about people taking in birds, raising them, and all of a sudden they become members of the family and they get along with the other animals and stuff.
Yeah, that was that movie with Naomi Watts.
Something about the injured magpie. A bird or something like that. But I had something like that when I was growing up. We actually found an injured magpie many, many years ago, took it in, looked after it, and then eventually gave it to another family that released it back into the wild.
But I did the same. I found an injured pelican once on a beach.
A pelican? That'd be terrifying.
Yeah, and I was always out chasing storms, so the locals used to call me Storm Boy, and I raised this pelican. Hang on a second. This sounds really familiar.
Yeah, you just turned it into another movie. It could be a sequel for, you know, Storm Boy or whatever. But yeah, this one, we took it in and raised it for a little while. We named it Nigel because it had no friends because it was on its own.
Oh, so wow.
Yeah. Pretty exciting time, though. You'd see it'd be flying around the backyard.
We were
pretty little at the time. It was also, here comes Nigel. He's flying in to give me a kiss with his beak. Oh, wait, no, he's swooping. Maybe it's time to move him along.
He's kissing my eyes.
Exactly right.
Delightful.
But none of that going on with this next story between Molly the magpie and Peggy the Staffordshire Bull Terrier. Take a listen.
Molly may be a magpie, but she's been raised alongside a dog. She was rescued from the local park as a chick after falling from the nest.
Reese knelt down to see if the bird was okay. And she ran up his arm and rested on his shoulder.
So he brought her home and taught her to feed and fly. But it's Peggy, the Staffordshire Bull Terrier, that took her under her wing.
Yeah, so you usually think when dogs and birds together, not good. Like, I've seen so many, you know, Staffies running after birds, trying to attack birds, you know, do everything and bark at them. Like, you wouldn't think a magpie and a Staffie would be getting along together.
No. I wouldn't think so. I don't think a bird would last very long around a regular Staffy, but sounds like this one's a bit special.
Yeah, these ones, I've seen the photos of this on the internet. They're like sitting there like Simba and Mufasa and the Lion King sitting next to each other watching the sunrise and the sunset. So they're pretty good friends as well. And as it turns out for Molly, you know, it's like, well, it's a bird. It needs to sort of, you know, get away. It can't be kept inside or enclosed for too long. It looks like this bird just basically comes and goes whenever it wants to, really.
She'll fly away for a couple of days and then come back. She normally comes back around about 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Their unlikely friendship has attracted more than 60,000 followers online.
They've become a sensation, of course.
I hate to be that guy, but Molly's not coming back because of her friendship with the Staffy. It's because you feed her. My nana feeds the magpies, and they constantly harass her for more food now. They're just out the front warbling away like, come on, give us some more of that mincemeat. You're like, oh, why'd you feed these things?
I had to double-check the story because I'm like, are you sure it's not a seagull? You know, goes away for a bit, comes back whenever there's food. Maybe does the whole I've only got one leg trick or something to get an extra chip or something. But looks like a great friendship between these two as well. And looks like some of the stuff has rubbed off on the impressionable young Molly the magpie as well.
Mm.
Molly has been mimicking the dog's barking, Peggy's barking. Take a listen.
Oh, God.
That is a magpie. That is not a dog.
Wow.
I'm just wondering how far this goes. Does it then extend both ways? Is it now that, like, now Molly the magpie is trying to teach, you know, Peggy to do some tricks as well, like maybe swooping or whatever? But let's be honest, anyone that owns a Staffy knows they're pretty good swooping, especially at dinner time.
Yeah, that's right.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Every day here on Power FM, we do the Pet Patrol.
Yeah.
We try to help out listeners who may have lost their pet or maybe found a pet that's been roaming and they're trying to reunite it with its family. But down in Victoria, in Drysdale, there's been a pet that went missing on the weekend. 23-year-old sulfur-crested cockatoo Jacko.
Ooh, huge.
It was pretty big news. It was devastating because Jacko, he's sort of a resident at the local Home Hardware store down in Drysdale. And there's a couple of things you need to know about Jacko. One is he loves nuts, okay? He's a fiend for snacking on nuts. And number two, he loves to say hello to the customers that come into the hardware store. But unfortunately for Jacko, he became the victim of a kidnapping.
At night, the cockatoo sleeps in a cage, but on Saturday he was snatched.
I was in shock. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, that Jacko wasn't there.
The thief jumped the front fence just before 9 p.m. and then broke into Jacko's cage.
Yeah, he took off with Jacko. I hope he didn't shove him down the front of his pants, given how much Jacko loves nuts.
Yeah, it's called budgie smuggling. It's called budgie smuggling, not cockatoo
That's
smuggling.
Right. But yeah, he was the victim of a kidnapping or a cocknapping. I don't know what the correct term is here, but now normally if it was this Jacko, they wouldn't really care about seeing him get returned. But, you know, it was devastating for them. They've had him there for 15 years.
So it's like someone specifically went there to steal the bird rather than actually steal stuff from the...
Well, I don't know.
It's weird.
I thought maybe, yeah, he was directly targeted, like they wanted to pinch the cockatoo. And then at the same time I thought, well, maybe it was a bit of a stupid apprentice and they were playing a trick on him. Like maybe the other workers, you know, his boss might have said, I'll go down to the Home Hardware and grab a lock or two.
Yeah.
And he just didn't hear it properly, or he's just a bit dumb and he went, oh, there's a cockatoo here, I'll grab that.
That's a bit weird. Hearing this story, I'm like, well, who'd they call? Ace Ventura Pet Detective? Is he still around? Is he still knocking about?
Well, fortunately, when Jacko first got stolen, it was all over the news. And the thief must have had a change of heart because the story does have a happy ending.
Jacko, the mascot, has been returned safe and sound almost 48 hours after he was taken.
I just started crying. Like, it was like holding your child, and I just held him and hugged him, and I couldn't let go.
Yeah, that's Katrina Neoakley. She's the owner of Jacko. Very happy to be reunited with her sulfur-crested cockatoo. So,
yeah, do you reckon maybe they did some Googling as well? Because they can live for a very long time, these
birds. Are, yeah. They are long-lived animals, the cockatoos.
Big commitment.
So he's back safe and sound. No harm done. They got him checked out by the vet.
Great.
Although, apparently, Jacko does have a few extra words in his vocabulary now. So they don't put him out the front of the hardware store anymore.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Now, as a resident tight ass, I can always sniff out a story of a fellow tight ass that's done even better than I can. Like, there's a very fine line between being a tight ass and being frugal when it comes to your money.
What is the difference there?
Well, tight ass is someone that refuses to spend money. Someone who is being frugal is someone who sees maybe there's like 500 mils left of the orange juice and tops it up with a little bit of water so it goes a little bit further.
Oh, okay. Someone so they're stretching their dollar, whereas the tight ass refuses to spend the dollar at all.
The tight ass is someone, refuses to spend the dollar. The frugal person is someone that finds the cheaper alternative.
What do you reckon your greatest tight ass moment was?
Greatest tight ass moment? Sneaking into sporting events. I'm pretty good at it these days. Yeah. One second, just go,
I've got to say, like, you did take the title of the biggest tight ass I know when you got Rachel, was it the Valentine's Day card?
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't a Valentine's Day card. You got a happy birthday card.
Yeah, just changed it
and
around.
You crossed out birthday.
Have you seen the price of those Valentine's Day cards? Like $7-$8 for a bit of cardboard. It's nonsense.
It's once a year.
It was probably written by, someone in a small factory overseas. That's they're getting paid a fraction of that. I can't be supporting that.
Okay, sure.
So I did see this story, though, of ex-rugby league player Jonathan Thurston. Mm. And when I see a rugby league story that says, $400 habit and things like that, I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is, maybe it's one of those sort of stories. No, this is a good thing because this is an unbelievable story. The now 38-year-old rags to riches. Great story. Back in the day, played for the Bulldogs, signed a contract worth $0, so it was basically just play and train, get paid as you play.
Really?
Yep. No one would take a chance on him because he was a skinny, scrawny sort of kid.
Right.
And
won
a grand final with the Bulldogs, gave his medal to Steve Price,
mm-hmm.
then went to the Cowboys. Probably the biggest mistake was the Bulldogs deciding to not
offer
him decent money and sign him up and everything. But just when he was growing up, he was working for $12 an hour at a car yard. He was working as a butcher's apprentice, just really did it tough. And then when he did finally sign a decent contract when he left the Bulldogs to go to the North Queensland Cowboys, his player manager, Sam Ayoub, said, all right, let's try and plan for a bit of life after football. Because a lot of football players, unfortunately, young, they get signed for a lot of money. By the end of their career, they could have just absolutely squandered the whole lot. We have nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
His manager signed him up and said, look, let's try and get you involved in a $400 a week habit. So basically, living off only $400 a week
So, his... like, basically a savings account.
Mm.
He opened a Dolomites account for Jonathan Thurston.
Even better. Like, he stuck to that religiously. Even more so, when it got to the latter of his career as well, he was actually still trying to stick to maybe a $300 a week habit as well.
All right.
And as it turns out, because he did that over the years, because he was that frugal with his money, by the end of his playing contract, he was worth, like, over $1.2 million a season.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so now he's actually amassed quite the multi-million-dollar portfolio. He owns a 50% share stake in emerging Queensland transport company SkyTrans, 8 pieces of real estate, and a 1967 Ford Mustang Shelby GT 500.
Because when you first started talking about this, I thought, oh, don't tell me he's one of those people that keeps the last bits of soap and then like smushes them
Extreme
all together
tight asses.
Into a new one.
Yeah, I should probably apply for that show.
You don't often hear about rugby league players being frugal with their money.
Mm.
I think the last example I know of is like Todd Carney. He never buys bottled water. He
dehydrated.
It's just recycled water Todd drinks. So.
And that actual car, the Shelby GT 500, it's worth around $500,000.
Oh, wow.
So Jonathan Thurston...
He's done
so well for himself.
What sort of car was it?
It's a Ford Mustang Shelby GT500.
So JT's driving a GT.
Yep. JT's driving a GT worth around $500,000. Now for me it all makes sense because every time you see him on TV, he's doing a bit of this. Now we know why.
Yeah, he's just doing it all the way to the bank.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.